Good evening. Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. If you will, be taking your Bibles and turning to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John writes to us here, "Do not love the world." John 2, beginning of verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Be our text for the evening, so if you will, just keep your Bibles right there. We'll be getting back to that passage in just a moment. Now, upon completing a hospital tour for a first grade class, the charge nurse asked, "Does anyone have any questions?" Immediately, a small hand went up. "Why does everyone wash their hands all the time?" an astute first grader asked. The charge nurse sagely responded, "Well, we wash our hands really for two reasons. One, we all love good health. And two, we all hate germs." You see, the nurse's twofold answer here actually demonstrates the nature of so many facets of life. Often a positive affirmation of one thing naturally implies the negative rejection of another. In other words, loving something often involves hating something else. And this is definitely true in our spiritual lives. And the psalmist urged, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Psalm 97 and verse 10. The apostle Paul, forever recorded in the New Testament, "Let love be without dissimulation." That is, hypocrisy. We read in Romans 12 and verse 9, Paul writing there, "Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." So one cannot truly love God without hating sin. And this involves hating the world. Now, we're not talking about the planet Earth. We're certainly not talking about hating mankind, but we're talking about hating the moral order or system that is opposed to God and Jesus Christ. So in dealing with this concept, the Apostle John elaborated on the love God hates. God hates the love of the world. That is, those that would love the world more than himself. So we want to notice three considerations in regarding the world and our spiritual lives. Notice again with me verse 15. "Do not love the world." I'm reading from the New King James. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We see a picking of sides going on here, don't we? We must make a choice. We must pick the world or we must pick God. And John clearly stated the fact that it's impossible to love both the Father and the world. You can't love both. Jesus himself taught this concept on more than one occasion. In Matthew 6 and verse 24, he says that no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or cleave to the one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and man. Can't do it. It has to be one or the other. James brought out the serious consequences of being sympathetic with the world. James tells us in James 4 and verse 4 that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Friends, each one of us must choose. We must make a conscious decision. Are we going to pick the Father? Or are we going to pick the world? We have to make a choice. Either we're going to pick the Father of lights, as James refers to him in James 1 and verse 17, or we're going to choose the power of darkness, as we read in Colossians 1 and verse 13. Which will it be? We must pick. John's very clear on that here. will it be? Another consideration are the principles that John lays forth here. Notice again with me verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Friends, in picking between God and the world, one must actually choose a set of principles by which he will live his life. The world has its set of principles, and God has his set of principles. And John lists three fundamental principles governing those who live in the world, those that have chosen the world's way of life. Notice them with me. The lust of the flesh. Now, friends, the lust of the flesh is inherent in our fleshly bodies. There are natural drives, desires, and appetites. And in their natural place, these are not inherently sinful. However, they must be governed by man in accordance with God's Word. Not by man, how man says they ought to be governed. You remember in his letter to the Corinthians had argued meats for the belly and the belly for meats. In other words, because we have this hunger, we should be allowed to eat whatever and whenever we want. That's not the way it ought to be governed. And Paul argued that point. Notice what Paul says with me in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Let's keep a finger there in 1 John chapter 2, but notice with me 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Notice what Paul says here. Paul's referring to himself and giving them an example to which to refer so that they may know what ought to be done. Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified or be a castaway, as the King James puts it. Do we understand what Paul's saying there, friends? I need to bring my body under subjection. Lust of the flesh should not rule. I have the ability to bring it into subjection. Discipline ourselves. So, John mentions here the lust of the flesh as a principle that the world lives by. The second one, notice, is lust of the eyes. Now, normally we don't think of our eyes as having an appetite, but in a real spiritual sense, they do. Think about it. Lust of the eyes gratify the sight and the mind. They often contemplate worldly things. Remember, it has been said that the eyes are a gateway to the mind. Also, there seems to be a real connection between the lust of the eyes and covetousness. Notice with me Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. In Joshua 7, we have an account of what takes place immediately following the battle at Jericho. If we remember correctly, Jericho was to be left alone. After the battle, everything was to be left there. It was basically given up to God. Again, remember we talked about this morning in our Bible class that God expected the first fruits. What was Jericho? Jericho was the first city to be fought against and conquered on the other side of Jordan. And so it was to be left to him. Notice with me Joshua 7 and verse 21, if you will. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. Now you remember at the beginning of Joshua 7, Jericho has already been defeated and now the people of Israel are going up to battle Ai. And it's a small city, it ought to be easily overcome. And so they send just a few of their soldiers to go up against Ai, and Ai sends them running. They're defeated. And the people can't figure it out. They say, God said that He was going to be with us. We should not have been beaten. Joshua inquires of God, and God tells him. They're sin in the camp. And here is Achan's explanation. When Achan finally comes before Joshua and it's determined that Achan's the one that has sinned, Achan had all the time in the world, it seems, to repent. He didn't do it. Here is his explanation. When I saw lust of the eyes, he saw the beautiful Babylonian garment. He saw the silver. He saw the gold. And he coveted it. He wanted it for himself. And friends, oftentimes the world, man, is governed by lust of the eyes. The third principle that John names for us here is the pride of life. When we survey the world, the people of the world, we see that many people's actions are motivated by how they feel about themselves or they want to feel about themselves and how they're viewed in the eyes of others. Now, these people are generally puffed up and self-sufficient, friends, and we know by reading of the life of Christ, reading of the life of the apostles, the disciples, that that principle is opposite to Christianity. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, toward the end of that verse, Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, let each esteem others better than himself. What does that mean to me? Friends, that means that I am to be humble. I ought not to be built up. I ought not to be puffed up. But rather I am to look upon the things of my brethren. I am to take care of them before me. People have often described the word joy as an anagram. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. And friends, that's how it ought to be. That's true joy found in Christ. Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. You see, all three of the aforementioned principles share one essential principle in common. And really, this is what sin boils down to in a nutshell. And that principle, my friend, is selfishness. Selfishness. Those in the world live for number one. But Christ instructs His people how to overcome the world, the essential principle of self-denial. You see, Paul records again in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And sometimes when we have a group of young people together, we actually put this verse to song. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Think about that. Christ liveth in me. I'm not mine anymore. I belong to Him. You see, He denied Himself. He denied the glory of heaven to come to this earth and die for me. And friends, we are to be living sacrifices for Him. Notice now with me, 2 John 2 and verse 17. John writes here, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The last thing we must consider concerning the love God hates, my friend, is permanence. And making the decisions of life and eternity. And making that choice between God and the world, friends, we ought to consider the permanence or lack thereof of the two options. Notice again at the very beginning of verse 17, the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, how long does he abide? How long does he make his dwelling? Forever. Forever. That needs to be taken into consideration. You see, the world, the moral order opposed to Christ, it's passing away. The day will come when all its adherents will be banished into everlasting punishment. Matthew 25 and verse 46. There will be no life or happiness, only suffering and despair. Romans 2, 8 and 9. And for this reason, the Hebrew writer described the pleasures of sin as existing only for a season. Hebrews 11, verse 25. You see, the lusts of the world are passing away with the world itself, as we read there in verse 17. You see, my friend, in hell there will be no lust of the flesh, for the bodies will be spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44. In hell there will be no lust of eyes, for the pitiable souls will be in the blackness of darkness forever. Jude in verse 13. And friends, there will be no pride of life, for hell is the second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Friends, may we all echo the sentiments of Paul. Let us hold to God's unchanging hand, and let us hate the ways of the world. We're putting away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. As we find in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, a love that God hates. You see, friends, God hates the love of the world. Those that love the world will not find a place in heaven. As we said before, Christ said himself that friendship with the world is enmity with God. James said that rather. Christ said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. We can't love both. It can't happen. A conscious decision needs to be made. It needs to be made tonight, my friend, because we're not promised tomorrow. Again, it was James that says that our life is but a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Friends, are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you do so tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said that he is? That he came to this earth and he bled and he died for you? Are you willing then to repent of your sin? As he says in Luke 13 and verse 3. Are you willing then to confess his name before men so that he will confess your name before the Father in heaven? Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Are you willing then to be baptized, immersed in water, to arise again and walk in newness of life? Friends, are you here tonight having done those things? Have you fallen away? Have you left your first love? Friends, no longer love the world, but love God the Father. Come to Him. Come right now while we stand and while we sing.